Are you ever curious what's going on behind the scenes in Hollywood? You watch a Netflix show or a Marvel movie and you wonder, why was that person in it? Why did this movie get made? I'm Matt Bellany, founding partner of Puck News, and I'm covering the inside conversation about money and power in Hollywood. With my new show, The Town, on the Ringer Podcast Network, I'm going to take you inside Hollywood with exclusive insight on what people in show business are actually talking about. Multiple times a week, we're going to bring you short, digestible episodes featuring some of the smartest people I know, breaking down the hottest topics in entertainment to tell you what's really going on. Follow The Town now and listen on Spotify.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck. Or, you know, I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at NissanUSA.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Ringer NBA show. It's The Answer. I am Chris Ryan. I'm joined, as always, by Stuart Sohi. What's up, Stuart?
I'm great. How are you doing?
It's Friday. We have one more round of play-in games before we get into the NBA playoffs. I'm very excited about that. The Timberwolves-Clippers game was just like, I felt like that was the Uma Thurman adrenaline shot to the heart in Pulp Fiction that I needed to get me excited about basketball coming into the playoffs. Like, every possession mattered. Dudes were crying. Dudes were freaking out about foul calls. People were jumping on the scorer's table. It was just like, let's go. Let's get into the playoffs. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
So, Sarah, today to preview the playoffs, you know, there's lots of different ways we could have done this, but there's a podcast I really like called Axe to Grind, which is about hardcore punk rock. And a while back, they did something called Hardcore Jeopardy, where they were doing basically a game of Jeopardy about hardcore. And I thought we could do that with the NBA. I thought we could do Playoff Jeopardy, where we basically do answers in the form of a question as a way of predicting what's going to happen in the next couple of rounds. Are you a Jeopardy fan?
Not really. I mean, you know, I would watch it if it was on back in the times of watching things on TV when they were on. I was just never very good at it. And I just don't, like, I have too much of an ego. I'm too insecure to get into things that I'm not good at.
Do you like trivia in general?
Yeah, I like trivia.
Okay.
I'm a Taboo fan. I always liked Wheel of Fortune. I like connecting things. But if you just ask me a question straight out, like, there's too much air in this brain. Like, I can't, it doesn't work out that well.
As we were going to record right now, it was just announced that Paul George is going to be missing tonight's play-in game between the Clippers and the Pelicans due to being entered into health and safety, testing positive for COVID, which I honestly have to admit that I did not know the NBA was still doing this. Like, I know that there's vaccination policies. Obviously, Matisse Thybulle's not going to be participating in the Toronto games of the Toronto-Philly series, but I guess I was under the impression that they were kind of like not really that stringently testing anymore, but apparently they are.
This definitely caught me by surprise. I had no idea that we were really doing this anymore at all. And this sucks, honestly, also, for the Clippers.
Like, it does.
Man, the timing is uncanny. Having this happen now, as opposed to, like, even if it happened a day from now, it'd be better. Or if it happened, like, a couple days ago, they lost that game against Minnesota anyways, so.
If the Clippers beat the Pelicans, this will only serve to, like, continue to build the myth of Ty Lue, which I think is honestly getting a little out of control right now.
You think so?
I think it's awesome. Like, I think he's an amazing coach, but I think because everybody needs to like top each other when they're talking about him. So it starts out and it's just like, wow, he's just amazing at like finding mismatches and like always throwing different defensive looks at teams. And then it gets like more and more and more. And then it's just like, Ty Lue can solve climate change. If he just had Kawhi and Paul George healthy.
Too many tops, not enough bottoms. I feel you. We're kind of in like the Brad Stevens territory right now. Like, yeah, would you rather have Brad
President
Stevens or LeBron James on your team? Right.
Okay, so should we start playing Jeopardy?
Let's do it.
This is our way of previewing the playoffs. We're going to do answers in the form of a question, and then Sirit and I will say who is or what is. And this is just the way we thought we might be fun, the way to look at the matchups in the first round here. So we have some that are like more total, like more widescreen, where they're looking at like the entire postseason almost in retrospect, even though it hasn't even started yet. But for the first answer in the form of question, we have this player immediately made voters regret their MVP selection. So obviously the last couple of weeks have been dominated by awards talk. We haven't really indulged too much in it, but the MVP race has been very tight. There's been a lot of different takes about who should get it, Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, some outside shouts for Devin Booker or whatever. This player in the NBA playoffs, because, you know, they vote at the end of the regular season, the playoffs don't really come into it. Who do you think is going to make people regret their vote?
This is just going to be about me. I'm going to regret my votes. I went Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, Booker, and Luka. And I feel like there's just going to be a moment in late May when Booker's just carrying the Suns. And, you know, they make the finals again. And, you know, maybe Giannis is still there. But, you know, I feel like Jokic is going to be nowhere to be found then. I'm sorry, but I feel like Embiid is just not going to be relevant at that moment either. I'm just going to be sitting there being like, wow, this guy is just kind of doing like his like Kobe / Jordan impression. And I gave him a fourth place MVP vote.
Yeah, it's going to be tough if Embiid and Jokic go home in the first round.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time. I mean, you know, they had the Westbrook year where they barely made the playoffs, but he was rewarded, obviously, for like that the triple-double season. It's been a long time since like the top two, if not three, MVP candidates did not make it out of the first round of the playoffs.
See, I can tell that we're getting better at podcasting together because you kind of paused after the Westbrook moment just to see if I would say anything, but I'm not going there this time. I feel like there's been enough Westbrook slander.
I think that we all, like, collectively, like, we should give all of ourselves a break and also Russell Westbrook a break and also Lakers fan a break, and we could just stop talking about it. It was a bad season.
Yeah.
It was a bad match. We don't have to keep belaboring it.
Yeah.
So you have Booker. Mm-hmm. Now, in your hypothetical Booker MVP push, or, you know, Booker makes everybody second guess how they voted, are you seeing Booker taking over for an injured Chris Paul at any time during this playoffs?
I mean, probably. You got to price in a few injuries when you've got Chris Paul on the team, right? And they did it last season. They did it in the regular season. Yeah, I think that's a big reason that he's even in the conversation, was them going 12-3 without him, and, you know, just how well Booker played. I think he, like, his scoring average has been pretty consistent throughout this season. He only went up like 2 points when Paul was hurt, but I think that's almost the point, right? Like, he's been the guy holding down the fort for Phoenix while they've had a ton of injuries this season, even and they're still the number one seed by quite a margin too, right? Like, they're like, no one even came within a stone's throw of them. The reason I just didn't go with him is just, I mean, you know, you look at those three guys statistically, you look at what Jokic has done this season. It's weird. The MVP is a weird award now. I think it's like, it's become about dependency. And it's almost designed at this point to make us look like fools, because, like, the players who win MVPs don't win championships for the most part.
Right.
In the last, 22 years or so, I think, like, five players have won the MVP and then also won the championship. Like, it's almost designed in a way that, you know, if you rely so much on somebody in the regular season, then it's natural that that team is going to see, like, an early playoff exit. That's probably going to be the Jokic story, and it might be the Embiid story.
Yeah, I mean, for Jokic, he's in a situation where, you know, the team that he carried the whole year with Porter and Murray absent, like, is probably their absences created the mythology around his MVP season. I think he obviously would have been a contender anyway had they been healthy. But the fact that he was able to get the Nuggets to the sixth seed essentially on his own with Bones Highland and a couple of other guys is MVP-esque. You know what I mean? That's definitely something that I don't think many other guys could have done. On the other hand, like, because he won't have Porter and Murray, I don't think that they're going to go very far in the playoffs, and it'll probably be a regular season achievement for Jokic. It is interesting with the Jokic debate. We don't have to get into it because we have a whole other like slate of things to talk about today. I feel like the conversation around MVP is veering pretty dangerously close to like there being a certain mathematical equation that you can solve for being MVP, and that like some of the advanced statistics, which Jokic almost uniformly is at the top of, are now becoming like bigger governing factors in what people vote for. That just seems like that to me anecdotally when I hear people talk where they're like, look, win shares, VORP, all these advanced statistics, like Jokic is just at the top. You have to give it to him. Whereas it kind of like robs the award of, I don't know, like in the eye of the beholder part of it. I guess that is also how you get like ridiculously bad MVP votes sometimes though.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like it's like the reverse version of the Defensive Player of the Year award, where it's like, you know, there's that you're like, you have to give it to Rudy Gobert because he's destroying all these advanced metrics. Meanwhile, he's still dropping on every possible screen against the Warriors in 2022.
And, yeah.
You know, we don't think about that part because the other games balance those things out. You got to have a balance between the stats and the eye test. And as I say those words, I feel like we should move on because we really don't need to have that conversation.
Well, if we had done this pod 5 days ago, I would have said Luka. If we had done this pod pre-calf injury, I would have said Doncic, because I think that Dallas has a shot against Phoenix in the second round. I think that Dallas was probably one of the two or three most impressive teams down the last couple of stretch of games there. I thought any given game, they could throw a bunch of different looks at you. And Doncic was obviously like playing into peak performance, you know, and was essentially dominating the game and making everything kind of tilt towards his end. And yeah, I mean, like the calf injury is bad. You know, I think that that's one of those things where I'm not a doctor at all, but like it's one of those injuries that I bet like he'll probably rush back on and not be at his best. And just hopefully he doesn't aggravate it. So without Doncic, I'm going to go with Steph. So I'm going to pick two guys kind of passing in the middle of the night in terms of injury. Steph's supposed to be coming back. I don't know if it's guaranteed that he's playing in this first game, the first Warriors game.
Yeah, I think they're still being cute about it, but it feels like he'll play.
I don't know. I want to believe. And I just feel like when the Warriors had Steph, Dre, Clay, and Poole briefly firing on all cylinders, but even without Clay, Steph's was just magical this year. Like the Warriors work when he's on the floor and don't so much when he's not. And it's interesting with a system team like that where you would probably hope that you could to some extent plug and play players into this motion system. It still all comes down to Steph and the kind of attention that Steph draws on the floor and his ability to get around to different spots and his ability to like create mismatches for other players because there's so much attention being drawn towards him. So if Steph's healthy, I think that the Warriors can make a deep run. It's possible. And I think people might be like, oh, maybe this was the Steph year, even though he did miss a significant amount of time. Let's move on to our second answer in the form of a question. And we're talking about injuries, so this kind of works. This player shocked the NBA with his brilliant return to action after a long-term injury.
I kind of want to change mine on the spot.
Okay.
I had Jamal Murray. So as of right now, we've got Michael Malone saying that it's doubtful that he'll play in this series. And you've also got, you know, the team president, Tim Connelly, being like, yeah, he's at the red zone. Like, we don't really know. There's not really much clarity on that situation. And it feels like that's kind of where we've been with them. Like, Porter, I think, is going to be out. He had a setback in his rehab. So that is kind of out of the question, it seems like, for the Nuggets. But yeah, I had Jamal Murray, but I'm so tempted to pick Zion Williamson here.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
It would just be so, so funny. And it would be awesome.
So Zion's doing 360 dunks in layup lines right now.
Exactly. And it feels like every one of those is just like his attempt to make the internet go crazy so that the Pelicans let him play. I want to wish this into existence a little bit. Obviously, like, nobody should play unless they actually can and should. But at the same time, it's like, man, like, this team has been really good since the CJ trade. The vibes are kind of coming together. They're coming together. And I feel like Zion back would just really put a bow on it. Like, if they could just give the Suns a run for their money and then enter the next season just feeling like happy and like, okay, everybody's healthy, that'd be cool. And I want to watch Zion play above all else.
If the Pelicans could sort of become the Suns from a couple of years ago, like the bubble Suns, where the Pelicans get like a little bit of a boost of confidence by getting him from the play-in into the playoffs, and then maybe even just taking a game off the Suns.
Yeah.
And just making it a little complicated so that they could go into next season with B.I., Zion, and CJ and be like, we actually have something here.
Yeah, that's a great trio to build around.
Willie Green's a good coach. We have a bunch of picks that we could trade or we could do stuff with. Mm-hmm. We've got Herb. We've got Alvarado. Like, it's all finally looking a little bit brighter in New Orleans.
Herb Jones Hive, let's go. Willie Green also was an assistant with the Bubble Suns.
For Monty Williams, yeah. There you go. See? My pick is, who is Ben Simmons? And your guess is as good as mine as to whether this guy's going to play, because there are tweets that are like, Ben Simmons can't move. There are tweets that are like, Ben Simmons plays 18 hours of Call of Duty a day. There are Steve Nash quotes where they're like, Ben Simmons isn't really sprinting yet. And then there are quotes where it's like anonymous sources being like, Ben Simmons looks awesome in practice and is targeting the middle of the first round to return. So if he came back, he would be stepping into Boston, basically. Like, he would be in the tail end of what would have to have been a competitive Boston-Brooklyn series. So let's just say, like, he is the guy we saw against Atlanta, who was bad, right? I still think that that dude would be a huge upgrade for the Nets. And yeah. I don't know, really understand how, if he's got a herniated disc and he's got an epidural, like, really what we're going to see out there, like, I'm not a back expert, but that just seems like him not playing competitive basketball for this entire time and then coming right back against Boston is some cause for concern. But of all the people who are these X factor guys who could come back and make an interesting return to action, I still think Ben is kind of the X factor.
Yeah, I think he can plug and play in that situation. Coming back against the number one defense in the TD Garden is going to be very interesting. Like, how do you think, I mean, you know, their Revolutionary War rival city would react? Like, would Boston fans almost be, like, rooting for Ben Simmons because he just, like, he did Philadelphia so dirty?
Oh, because it would make the Sixers fans feel pain? No, I think that they're going to try and really, like, rock Brooklyn. I don't think they want to have, like, a long series where KD is playing in game sixes and sevens with them.
But then, like, who do they boo between Kyrie? Like, they're just going to lose their voices between Kyrie and Simmons, you know? Like, it's going to be a long series, and I just feel like, you know, the fans got to pace themselves, too. Like, they can be looking at, like, Kyrie in the first game there and being like, hey, like, we've tried booing this guy before. He doesn't care. He doesn't even hear it. Like, maybe we should save it. Hashtag save it for Simmons.
In the NBA playoffs, there are no sure things except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you'll get an instant bonus, win or lose. That's right. Not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out, but FanDuel's giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. Oh, and the more you bet, the bigger the bonus. So here's my same-game parlay for the first round of the NBA playoffs for these Saturday games. I cannot wait to watch Minnesota versus Memphis. And I put together a same-game parlay that hits the over at 236. I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over on Anthony Edwards' points scored. That's 22.5. And I'm taking the over on Desmond Bane's points scored at 19.5. You can do anything like that. It's so creative. It's so fun. FanDuel is an official partner of the NBA. Their app is safe, easy to use, and you'll get your winnings fast. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today using the promo code RINGERNBA to make every moment more. So just watch the NBA playoffs. Be a part of it. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays and get an instant bonus, win or lose. 21 and older and present in select states only. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 7 days. Max bonus $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text next step to 53342. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Okay, so the next answer in the form of a question we have is, this regular season darling crashed in the postseason, sparking a debate about whether regular season success is an accurate predictor for playoff potential. Who do you got?
I got Boston.
Great pick.
Yeah, I just feel like they remind me a lot of, you know, some of these hard-nosed defensive teams that just, you know, you get a little bit more effort in the playoffs from these teams. Like, well, the Nets, I picked them because they're playing the Nets. And it just sets up the perfect debate because it's like, well, the Nets, you know, they scratched and clawed their way into the playoffs. If you could really call any of their season scratching and clawing, I feel like they kind of just like wandered there. They weren't really trying that hard.
Right.
But now we have them in there, and you know, like the Nets are probably designed to be able to beat them. I did a basketball news podcast a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the Celtics defense and like, does it have any weaknesses? And if Time Lord's playing, who is also another guy who could miraculously come back from an injury, and I don't think he would shock the world. I think we know what he can do. But, you know, like, they make everything really hard. They have great isolation defenders. They have a defender for every type of player that you have, and then they have that backup, too. And, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion that the only thing that you can really do is be really good at making tough shots. And they've got two guys. Like, the Nets have two guys. Like, they're the two best scorers in the NBA. That will consistently make tough shots. I think if you get like playoff KD against the Celtics defense, like it's going to be interesting for sure. I think it's the type of thing where, you know, the Celtics could give the Nets a few hits that make them lose down the line. But I see the Nets winning that series. And then you kind of just have a bunch of questions about Boston, where they go from here.
So do you see the Nets winning that series actually, or just within the context of this hypothetical question?
No, I think they're going to win the series.
Wow.
Is that shocking? They have the best player by eons in that series.
I think the Nets are going to get their asses kicked.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting for sure.
So one thing that I think is kind of going to be kind of fascinating to watch in this series specifically is the beginnings of games, because Boston's hallmark, especially when they were rolling with Robert Williams, was they would just go up 25 on teams. Like they were just, and that is one thing that you don't see a ton of in playoffs. And you, what you're saying is like, oh, like if this game is close and it's about shot making at the end of the game, like, well, which two guys would you rather have the ball like than Kyrie and Kevin Durant at the end of a game when it's like close and you're getting back into it? I just don't know if Brooklyn can like hang with these dudes. Like Brooklyn does literally have two players. Like Seth Curry, for as good as he is in the regular season, is going to get kind of exposed in the playoffs like he kind of usually does. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have Ben Simmons, they're out there with like Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic. Like, I just don't think they have enough dudes.
I can see that happening for sure. But I also look at it like, okay, you have like two quarters before the fourth to make up for whatever deficit you give up. And
sure,
that's just, yeah. It's really easy for the Nets to carve up a lead like that. You know, like it's a couple transition threes and then like a couple dunks and you're good. And like, that sounds overly simplistic, but that's the point of the Nets really. Like, it's overly simplistic because they just have two guys that are such scintillating scorers that it doesn't really matter. And they have shooters around them.
But doesn't that go against everything that we've been kind of saying about playoff basketball for the last couple of years, where everything is like all these complicated matchups and throwing different looks and like having like adjustments game to game and quarter to quarter or half to half? And I don't even know if the Nets can do that. What is the Nets like offense? You know,
I think they adjust pretty well. They played a ton of different lineups like over the last 2 years. They've had to. I think they're actually a little bit more versatile than that. Like, you know, they can go small pretty well, they can go big pretty well.
I can't believe I'm like caping up for Boston. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, this answers the question as to whether Ben Simmons will get booed, because you are so on Team Boston right now. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's the idea though, right? Like, there is a simplicity to the way that they play that does go against some of the things that we've seen in the playoffs recently. But it's also because, like, you know, you have a team like the Bucks where they don't have those guys, so they have to find a different way to win. And these guys don't. Just, you know, I'm Kevin Durant. Hi.
My response for this answer in the form of a question is, who is Memphis?
Yeah. Boston East.
Boston East. I don't believe this. Like, I don't think Memphis is going to falter in the playoffs. But I do think that they are allowed to. This is a young team. They haven't had that many playoff campaigns. This is Ja coming back off of an injury. This is a different kind of basketball. And I'm fairly confident that they'll get through the first round and beat Minnesota. But it wouldn't shock me if they didn't, and it wouldn't shock me if they were handily beaten in the second round by a Golden State team. So, you know, what success is, this is something Verno and KOC were talking about a while back, like a couple months ago, on the mismatch, is like, what would be disappointing for Memphis? Is it a second round exit? Do they have to get to the conference finals? Like, what is the need for this team? I feel like this is like the breakout season, and if they go home in the second round, that's not the end of the world. And I don't think we're going to have to do like a, was Memphis real? Was it Memphis ever real thing? But I do think that they are probably in for a little bit of a coming back down to earth moment in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say it depends what happens, right? Like, I could see them getting punched in the mouth by the Timberwolves. And if they aren't able to respond to that, then I think you might look at it and be like, well, that was disappointing. But yeah, I mean, like, anybody in the second round at this point is like, it's like, how disappointing can it really be to lose to an actual contender, right? Like, that's just, that's right. How stacked these teams are at this point. I think the thing that works out really well for Memphis too is that they don't need to answer the questions of what happens next for this team because they're really young.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I would be looking for, I would be looking for progress on, like, incremental things. Like, looking at last season's playoffs, I think the things that they struggled with was, like, if you look at Ja and his game management is something that I think he needed to improve in last year's playoffs. And if it's the same story of, like, you know, getting a little bit of tunnel vision and not really, you know, making that next step of, okay, like, let's figure out a way for Jaren Jackson to eat in this series because he can and he should. Those are the kind of things that you look at and say, like, okay, well, that was a little bit disappointing. But if they lose with, like, you know, a level of effort and improvement, and I don't necessarily know the word I'm looking for. If, like, if they can lose in a way that shows that they're a little bit more nimble than they were last year, a little bit more playoff built, then I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, let's see what they are next year. But I think they are playoff built, though. Like, I agree with you in that. They are an interesting team for this question, but I have belief in them.
Yeah. So the next one we have is, despite regularly steering his team to the playoffs, this coach left after 2022 NBA postseason, and we have the same person. So let's talk about Doc Rivers. My official prediction or whatever is the Sixers are going to lose in five to the Raptors.
Really?
I don't have very good vibes about this team. I certainly don't have good vibes about the coach. I don't have good vibes about the team's relationship to its coach. The Thibault thing is not good. I just could see the Sixers splitting the home games with Toronto and then losing both in Toronto and then kind of giving up. And the stuff coming out of Philly with Doc this past week, a lot of it is around like a very, like, nobody's going to really care about this, but it's about whether or not B-ball Paul Reed is the backup center or is it DeAndre Jordan? And Doc has been very combative about his lack of opportunity provided for B-ball Paul, who is a little bit more of a modern backup five, like has a couple more tools, is certainly more mobile than DeAndre is. And it's kind of put into focus, like, just the disconnect between Doc and the fan base, maybe Doc and the team, maybe Doc and, to some extent, modern basketball. And I don't know. I just think Doc's going to coach the Lakers next year. It just seems like that's where this is all going.
It just makes sense. And I think like the Winning Time documentary 40 years from now is going to be like the opposite. It just needs Doc Rivers more than it needs Nick Nurse.
So Nick Nurse was the other person who's been like weirdly rumored for the Lakers job. I can't remember. Did LeBron say he's like a fan of Nick Nurse or something? Or did
Yeah, I think like, well, so like, Nick Nurse is clutch.
Oh, okay.
And apparently, like, you know, sources say that AD and LeBron are fans of his coaching, which is like, hey, yeah, like get in line with the rest of the league there, basically,
sure.
Right? Yeah, I don't really see that one happening. I just don't know why he would want to go there at this point. But Doc is kind of a perfect fit for the Lakers.
Yeah, and I just think he's not a perfect fit for Philly anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff in Philly is going to wind up being about Harden. It's going to be about whether Harden re-signs. It's going to be about how Harden plays in the postseason. It's going to be about if he doesn't play well in the postseason, mm-hmm. What was the reason for that? Is it like specifically a hamstring injury that can be repaired? Is there a sense that like he's interested in participating in the upper echelon of NBA basketball anymore? Like, obviously, like, he's a guy who marches to the sound of his own music. So he talked his way out of Houston. He talked his way out of Brooklyn. And now he's in Philly. And he's got this huge deal. And Philly also, for their own purposes, Daryl held on to Ben Simmons and got the player he wanted. And now I honestly got to say, like, based on what you see from James Harden and imagining him in three seasons, like, do you still want to be paying him $45 million to be the 35, 36-year-old version of James Harden is kind of a tough thing to contemplate.
Are you trying to wish a first-round loss into existence so that the Sixers don't re-sign James Harden?
Well, no, it's not even that as much as it's just like, I just don't think the team has it this year.
Yeah.
This team is too slow, and this team just does not have like the athleticism, I think, to compete with a Toronto team. So I actually, I just don't think they have it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in them in the playoffs. And I love the Raptors as an upset candidate, but I think the Sixers are just going to be a bad matchup for them. Like, Embiid's just so good in the paint. That's their one weakness, right? Like, they can stop guys from getting into the paint, but once you're in there, like, they just don't have enough size. I think Embiid's just going to be able to get him over the hump, like, you know, just do what he needs to do. Maybe make me feel better about the MVP prediction, right? Because that is probably what it's going to take, especially with Thibault out. But yeah, it's going to be Doc. I don't even think there's any real other candidates. I was looking at the playoffs and I was like, oh, it seems like everyone's kind of good with what they have.
I have a weird feeling this year is going to have a lot of coaching turnover. I could see Borrego going. I could see Quinn Snyder going. I could see Doc going. I could see some of the younger guys who are coaching teams that are in Orlando, Houston, like any team that's in the lottery like that, like it's in play, I think. Mm-hmm. There's a lot out there, I think, that could happen.
Quinn Snyder's Sixers coach would be pretty good.
That guy is intense, but I think he would be a really good coach. All right, let's move on to the next one. This player missed a critical game that his team lost because he was suspended for picking up too many technical fouls.
I took Luka here. He's trying. He says he's trying his best to not be complaining all the time. He's just not there yet. He's not there yet. And I think that the Mavs can also make a deep enough run that, you know, like it'll take 7 technical fouls. And he'll pick them up quick, honestly. Playoffs get a little bit more intense, too. I don't think he's going to be able to handle it. Like, there's just going to be moments where he gets so mad, especially coming back from an injury, too. Like, your body's a little bit more sensitive. Like, you want a little bit more protection. Like, I think he's just going to be a little louder. I had Draymond for this, but I think, you know, he is older and wiser.
So Luka comes back from calf injury and immediately just gets tossed. What an advertisement.
I have him beating the Jazz, like, kind of no matter what, which we can get to later. But yeah, pretty much.
Mine is Towns. Put me on team, celebrate however you want. Like, I really don't care. I love celebrations. But I was a little, like, thrown off by Towns's temperament in that Clippers game. And I wonder whether or not Taylor Jenkins is watching that game and is like, okay, like, you can get into Karl Towns's head a little bit. Now, whether it's, like, just stealing some of the stuff that Ty Lue did against Karl Towns in that play-in game just to make him uncomfortable, or whether it's, I don't know, just being super physical with him whenever you can, it just seemed like Karl was, like, a little just like on tilt. And I wonder whether or not he's a guy who can be knocked off his square in a playoff series.
Yeah, Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson and the Grizzlies are, like, kind of perfectly designed to make that happen. I like that pick.
Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane seem like they are going to be like pretending they got elbowed a lot.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is also a candidate for this question too.
Let's move on to the next one. So this star duo had a public falling out that precipitated their breakup this summer.
Yeah, we'll get to the Utah stuff now, right? I think it's just time. It's time for Mitchell and Gobert. I feel like Donovan's been really patient about all this stuff. I think just another playoff loss. Like, the way that they've stumbled through the second half of the season too, like, the vibes are just really bad. And I think all it's going to take, there's so much subtext that they seem to read within each other's comments at this point, that I feel like all it's going to take is, like, that happening in a moment when, you know, they're losing. It feels like the wheels are about to fall off there.
Yeah. I mean, Stockton and Malone, they are not. So this seems like a thing where the question is, does Danny Ainge want to break them up, or do these guys want to be broken up? And if they do want to be broken up, who wants out of town worse, or who wants out of town first? The Mitchell to New York stuff is, like, obviously out there. But then you've got Rudy, who I think might be almost underappreciated at this point. And, like, on one hand, I could see him going to, like, Charlotte or something like that.
Apparently Gordon Hayward wants to change the scenery.
So he's going to come back to Utah for the old scenery?
I guess, yeah.
And then on the other hand, there's, I mean, I'm sure it was BS, but there was even a rumor that, like, Golden State would be interested in Rudy, you know? So no matter, like, where he goes, he's going to dramatically improve the defense of the team that he joins. It's just a matter of whether or not, like, he's a difficult character, or whether it's just been a bad situation, bad context for him over the last couple of years. So Utah will be fascinating to see whether it's an organizational teardown or whether the players lead it. I have kind of like a super trolly one here for my answer. Mm-hmm. I have, who is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard? So on one hand, the Clippers are routinely, like, just punching above their weight because they're dealing with all the Clipper curse stuff, and injured superstars and everything else, and like they're able to get Amir Coffey to play better than half the Sixers roster, and they've got like just incredible contributions coming from all over the floor, and they're playing five out and just wrecking teams. On the other hand, like, Steve Ballmer really getting his money's worth out of this team?
Yeah, man. I was thinking about that one too. And like, I was thinking about Ty Lue as an answer to the previous question about like what coach could potentially lead for a contender. We're going to look back at this one. It's going to be really interesting because that season we were like, oh man, like the Nets won free agency,
right,
and the Clippers won free agency. And here we are in 2022. And it's like both of these teams are just kind of stuck in this like failure to launch place because, like, you know, for the Clippers, mostly because of injuries, the Nets, you know, all of the things and injuries. It's hard because I think that when they are together, there is a lot of potential for them to be very destructive. I think they can even look at like a team like the Suns and say like that's a model for how we could play. And then the other thing is like what's the trade market? Really, like which one of those guys would you trade?
It would be PG, and I'm really just trolling here, but mm-hmm. I will say that, like, you put it exactly right. Like, these two teams that you think won free agency and have actually just remained in this hypothetical state of if and when we ever get all our guys going at the same time will be unbeatable. I mean, the Clippers were awesome. Like, whenever they've had Kawhi and PG and Ty Lue and these guys around them, like, it's been cool to watch. But, like, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are not that durable. And I wonder if you have any teams out there, like we made a joke a couple weeks ago about like, would Memphis be like a perfect place for a Paul George type player? And I wonder whether or not you like kind of sell high on Paul George. And if there's anything out there that the Clippers would be interested in getting into, or if there was, maybe there's just like, they're like, this is as far as we can go with a team where the two best players are not routinely on the floor. It's just an idea. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing it out there. Let's just see if it sticks.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now. Or how many times do I have to tell you? I'm vegan. Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Next question. This one steady team faced major questions about their future after having their weaknesses exposed in the postseason. Who do you got?
I got Chicago. We've talked about this a little bit before, but...
So this isn't just like injuries. You can't just chalk it up to Caruso and Ball missing most of the season or whatever.
No. Like, we talked about the Bulls early in this season where we were really high on them, but at the same time, we saw this sort of future where they have to play the Bucks in the first round, and... it's just going to be like, you know, Giannis dunking all over them because they just don't have the interior defense. And then you have like the three-headed monster of Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton reminding everybody why Toronto traded DeMar DeRozan in the first place. And they are kind of perfectly set up for that scenario, unfortunately, right now. I don't think it necessarily speaks completely to, you know, like those are the weaknesses for Chicago, and they just happen to be running into the team that's going to be able to exploit them really well. Like, I don't even think it's going to be really a long series with those teams. Actually, like, you know, this team does remind me a lot of those Raptors. Like, I was thinking about what do they do next, and I'm like, it was like they wanted the LeBron stopper. Now they're going to need a Giannis stopper, and PJ Tucker is a free agent this season. And like, they have a decision on LaVine too. Like, LaVine is going to, he's probably going to command a max, but he's also, he's had some injuries too. And like the same knee that he, like the left knee, he tore his ACL a couple years ago. It's been giving him problems as well. So yeah, it's just, things just don't look as rosy as they did earlier this season. And you just got a situation where they're kind of locked in to what they have right now. Like, I feel like with LaVine, it's like, if he's dealing with injuries, he's not going to want to necessarily go somewhere else. Like, I think he's never really been a free agent before. I'm sure he'll test the waters a little bit, especially if the first round looks really bad for them. They don't have a lot of maneuverability from here. Then you're just kind of hoping that Patrick Williams ends up being the answer to that question. And you know, maybe down the line he could be, but he's not really on their age timeline either. It feels like they were so close to coming together. And yeah, I don't feel good about Chicago's future right now.
I feel like they can get away with, we like our chances with Lonzo, Caruso, DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch. Like, I think that Lonzo's a pretty crucial player for them, and to not have him hurts. They had a tough second half of the season. I think that they were always kind of having trouble with teams that were better than them. Honestly, like, they were always having trouble with the teams at the top of the league. It was that they were really, really capably taking care of all like the teams beneath them in the regular season. They had that kind of going for them. I think maybe they're just a year away from being not necessarily contenders, but like a 3 or 4 seed. Now, the Eastern Conference is so competitive.
And avoiding the Bucks.
And avoiding the Bucks. And getting a Charlotte or a Pacers or a whatever kind of first round and having a little bit more luck. Yeah. My team is kind of contrary to what I was saying earlier in the podcast about Steph, but I have Golden State here. So a couple of different things could happen here. One is Steph could not be healthy. Two is Steph could be healthy, but they just get like an erratic performance from everybody around Steph. Klay has been hit or miss. Jordan Poole's on a crazy heater right now, but correct me if I'm wrong, but like, Poole, Klay, and Steph haven't gotten a ton of minutes together, right?
Barely, yeah.
Right.
They've had some moments where they've looked really good together, but they've also had a lot of, you know, Poole's had some trouble transitioning into this role, and Klay's, you know, I think he's a year away from being fully recovered too.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So then there's the depth issues. And there is the, like, what was cool during the regular season, like with Kuminga and Moody, like, doesn't necessarily translate into the postseason. There's the Wiggins disappearing act. I love Warriors Twitter, but I always look on in fascination with the disdain with which they hold Steve Kerr. And I don't know. I've seen teams with better vibes going into playoffs. And I wonder whether or not what was like an incredibly inspiring, awesome first half of the season turned into kind of like a darker, like, Steph's out, Dre's out, like, we're getting our butts kicked. Then they kind of turned it around at the very end of the season. But I'm not so sure this team is got it this year.
Yeah, I think there almost might be a little bit credence to the Gobert stuff there too, because I think they have, if they lose, there's also going to be the tactical issue as well. Like, if Steph is healthy, but they got Jokic in the first round, and they just don't have anybody that can guard him. Like, Draymond's going to try his darndest best, but Jokic is going to turn around and know that Draymond's 6'7", and he can get a hook over him anytime he wants to. And it'll be tiring for him, but I actually think Denver has a reasonable shot in that series. And then you just got the West. We talked about this many times before, so we won't get into it too much, but the West is just packed with bigs. Like, what do you do about Ayton? What do you do about the Memphis, you know, just Goliath down there with, like, with Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson? And if it's Minnesota, then you still got to deal with Karl Towns. Like, it's just tough to get through the West without having an actual 7-foot big man who's going to be able to rebound the ball for you. Like, I think they can just get crushed on the boards, get crushed in the paint. And if they're not firing on all cylinders from the 3-point line, I don't know if they're going to make up for that.
Yeah. All right, let's do our final question.
Yeah. Let's do it.
This team won the 2022 NBA Finals.
I got Phoenix. Feels a little self-explanatory with the way the Suns season has gone. They're all healthy. Things have happened for them at the right time. Like, they had the injuries happen to them at the right time that allowed them to grow. And now, you know, they're a full strength team that's really, really deep, and they know how to play together. You know, they walked through the fire last season. They're really angry too. I feel like they're really motivated from the loss, and the vibes are strong. Like, I just don't, I look at that team and I'm like, I feel like they can withstand most of the challenges that will be posed to them. Like, they can get punched in the mouth. Mikal Bridges is much better this year than he was last year. He's a real creator for them. Broker's improved. His playmaking's improved. His decision-making has improved. Ayton is actually kind of, like, he has become so much more diverse from the five spot, too. Like, just in the center of the court. Like, he's hitting every floater. He's expanded his range. His playmaking has improved. Like, everyone is just a little bit better than they were the season before. And I think that that's going to be enough to get them over the hump.
I think they're gonna win. I had the Bucks here for like content and like how cool it would be for like a back-to-back champion. I think the Suns are gonna win. I think they're just the best team. I think we'll get to the end of this and we'll be like, maybe it was never really in question. Maybe this is a historically good NBA team that needs to be remembered, because
we certainly didn't remember them in the regular season. Like,
no, but I wonder whether they're about to lawnmower this playoffs. And that would be, I think, especially good for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a quick playoffs, like a getting through teams 4-0, 4-1 might be the best recipe, and not dilly-dallying and playing game sixes and stuff like that. They're just a perfect basketball team.
They are. They can answer every question.
And I kind of like rooting for teams like that. Like, even when I watch the Bucks, I'm like, God, the Bucks don't make this much. Sometimes the Bucks don't make sense, and it's not bully ball, but I'm just like, what is this? The Suns just kind of like make total sense to me when I watch them play.
They're beautiful to watch. They're kind of like the Spurs in that, like, they are perfect and they're the number one seed and they're probably going to win the championship, and we're going to look back and be like, why didn't we spend the entire regular season talking about them?
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it. We have the Suns winning. We have Doc leaving. We have Karl Towns and Luka Doncic getting ejected. We have Memphis crumbling under expectations. Like, we have all of it. I'm not on next week. Sirit's got Friday to herself. She'll have a guest next Friday, and then I'll be back the following week. But I hope everybody enjoys the first weekend of the playoffs. Sirit, what's the game that you have circled? Like, I cannot wait for game one of this series.
Honestly, I think it's Boston-Brooklyn. It's probably it's the closest series, and it's the one that I have the most questions about. And I think it's like probably the most controversial in that, like, everyone kind of feels a different way about it as well. Yeah. And there's so much potential for things to explode there. You got Ben, like, I'm really excited to hopefully watch Ben Simmons play again. We haven't had playoff, like, real playoff Kyrie, like, healthy. So yeah, I'm excited for that one. What about you?
For my sins, I'm excited for Toronto Philly, and then I think I'm really excited for Memphis Minnesota.
Yeah, it'll be a good one too. I think Memphis can, like, or Minnesota can give him an actual real challenge here.
Also, just like a really two really fun teams to watch.
Yeah,
and watching Ant not know that he's not the best player on the planet, like, would be really fun against that Memphis team. Sirit, thanks so much for joining me today. Chris Sutton was our producer. We'll be back next Friday, or Sirit will be back next Friday. Until then, everybody enjoy the NBA playoffs.